The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop a new promo video for my upcoming music video for the single No Daddy's Girl. You can check that out on my official website, katietrop.net, or you can check that out on my YouTube channel at Katie Trop. I'd appreciate that. Let's get into week 7. It was a weird-ass week of games here, so let's get right into it, beginning with the snoozer of the day. The Las Vegas Raiders at the Chicago Bears. Very shocking game. The Bears actually probably had their best game of the season. And they had a backup quarterback in by the last name of Badgent, I believe is how you say that. He had 162 yards and a touchdown, so he had a pretty solid day. But Deontay Foreman was the dude at running back. He had 16 carries, 89 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And the Bears ended up whooping ass. 30-12. I mean, it wasn't even close at all. I don't know what the hell is going on with these Raiders, man, but they got their asses whooped by a nobody squad up in Chicago. So that's a pretty bad look for the Raiders, but a good win for the Bears. Then we had a crazy game between the Cleveland Browns and the Indianapolis Colts. The Browns ended up eking out the win 39-38, but I mean, it was just back and forth between the two teams from the jump. Gardner Minshew had 305 yards and 2 touchdowns for the Colts. Jonathan Taylor, this was, his second or third game back after he had his little holdout there at the beginning of the season. Well, he had 75 yards and a touchdown. And then their wide receiver Downs had 125 yards and a touchdown. But the Browns were just able to get it going. Kareem Hunt had a big game offensively. But the guy who had the biggest game, Myles Garrett, the defensive end for the Cleveland Browns. This guy was all over the place. He had 2 sacks, a safety, and a blocked field goal. And when I say blocked field goal, this motherfucker jumped over the offensive lineman and then blocked the field goal. It was insane. Dude's been going off. It's actually really cool to see how many defenders are having just amazing seasons so far. Because, I mean, this league is just totally built around offense. But, you know, so far, not only have we had some great individual defensive performances from certain players, but we've also had really, really good defenses hold it down and step it up this season, even though the rules are totally just meant for more and more offense, but defense has been stepping it up, and Myles Garrett has been that dude. I mean, the Cleveland Browns actually have the number one defense in the league, but Myles Garrett, he's been going off, and obviously that happened yesterday, and, you know, part of the reason why they won is because Myles Garrett, you know, had that blocked field goal that took 3 points off of the board, and then the safety put 2 points on the board for the Browns. So big ass day for him in that defense. Kareem Hunt had a big day, and then of course the big vagina Deshaun Watson. You know, he ended up playing, but only in the first quarter, and then he went out with concussion symptoms. And he even got checked out and was cleared to go back into the game. And for some reason, the coach didn't let him go back in. Who knows if there's something more there. But, you know, Deshaun Watson just is turning out more and more to be that excellent quarterback that you gave that guaranteed $200 freaking million dollars to for being a big fucking scumbag. But anyways, the Browns still got the win without you, homie. But that was a big win by the Browns and big loss by the Colts. Then we had the shocker of the day, I believe. The Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. Now, I'm not shocked this ended up being a close game. I mean, scoring-wise, close game. But for the most part, the Patriots dominated this game from the jump. It was 13-0 at one point. And then finally, the Bills started to get it going. And they did once again what they've done pretty much all season so far. Is it's been a quiet first half for them. And then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter comes around. And they're like, oh yeah, we got a game to play. And it was just all around bad from the Bills. I mean, Josh Allen comes right out, first drive, throws an interception. Then defensively, the Bills were just not what they're used to, what they're usually used to. I mean, they usually lock it down. No, yesterday they were missing tackles like no other. And then something that's actually not really Josh Allen's fault is just the offensive line was not blocking shit. He was running for his life all day yesterday. And the Patriots ended up getting the win 29-25. Now, like I said, they had the lead for the entire game until the fourth quarter. And the Bills were able to finally put together a really solid couple of drives. But then the last drive, they were able to finally take the lead. And so you're thinking, oh, it's all done here for the Patriots. Well, no, Mac Jones was actually had a good game, drove them down the field for the game-winning drive, and the Patriots would win 29-25. Like I said, Mac Jones had a big game, 272 yards, two touchdowns, and they just took care of business yesterday. And also, Bill Belichick got his 300th career win. So congrats to him. And, you know, it's only the Patriots' second win of the season, so it took him forever to get that 300th win. But that's a great accomplishment, of course. But he wasn't as excited about it, of course, when asked about it after the game because you know, his team's only won two games this season, so I don't see why he would give two shits and a fuck about having 300 career wins at this point in time. But good win from the Patriots and just the Bills. They keep becoming more and more of a question mark as the season wears on. It's like you kind of feel like they might finally get their bearings about them, finally find their offensive drive like actually a couple teams did over the weekend. But the Bills were not that team. They actually came up real short. And it's starting to look more and more bleak for them as the season wears on because, you know, you've got the Dolphins in their division. So it's like you're going to be battling it out with them probably the rest of the year for the division. And if you don't win the division, well, this AFC is pretty much stacked. And so are the Bills going to be one of those teams that backs their way into the playoffs or potentially misses out on the playoffs just because they are not looking good at all? And that was a bad loss for them yesterday. Then we had the Washington Commanders at the New York Giants. And this was pretty much a snooze fest for the most part. The Giants did get the win 14-7. It was really like nobody wanted to win this game yesterday, but the Giants wanted to win slightly more. Tyrod Taylor had a good game at quarterback for the Giants. He had 279 yards and two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley had a pretty nice day, 77 yards. And then Darren Waller had his best game as a Giant so far with 98 yards and a touchdown. So good game. Good win from the Giants. They were finally able to score a first half touchdown as well, something they haven't been able to get done so far on the season. And then the Commanders, they just looked terrible. And one of their defensive tackles went off in a post-game interview, and it was pretty hilarious. But basically, he was talking about how sick of the shit he is, and he's been with the team for 7 years, and it's pretty much the same shit every single game, every single year. And he did. He said same shit. I mean, like, it was hilarious to watch because it was like, I'm so fucking sick of this shit every fucking year, same fucking goddamn shit. So as you can imagine, on regular TV, it was like beep, 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 beep. So it was pretty hilarious to see that since I hate the Commanders. So I always love to see them pissed off, but they look like a terrible ass team. I mean, they were getting, defensively, the Giants were looking really good. But it was really just more the Commanders. They just could not get anything going. And it was a tale of two shitty teams playing each other. And the Giants were just able to play the slightly better football between two terrible teams. Then we had another pretty terrible game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kind of looked like the Buccaneers are starting to come back down to earth. You know, we didn't really expect much from them this year. And now they have lost to the Falcons 16-13. Of course, it was a nice walk-off kick from the Atlanta Falcons kicker, Younghoe Koo. That dude's money when it comes to game-winning field goals. He's been that guy for them the last couple of years. Actually, he's pretty much their only source of scoring, it feels like, for the most part. But for the Buccaneers, it kind of feels like they are back to where they should be. They're 3-3 now on the season. Baker Mayfield didn't have a terrible day. He had 275 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Mike Evans had a good day, 82 yards and a touchdown. But it was really just the Falcons were able to just make a few more bigger plays and then just have their kicker kick one more field goal than theirs. So that was the that snooze fest. The non-snooze fest, at least if you were a Baltimore Ravens fan, would be the Detroit Lions at the Baltimore Ravens. Speaking of coming back down to earth, looks like the Lions did that in this game because the Baltimore Ravens just kept on scoring. It was 38-6 was the final score. I mean, the Lions didn't even score their first points until the fourth quarter. So it was just straight up domination by the Ravens offensively and defensively. Lamar Jackson went off. He had 357 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns through the air, and 1 rushing touchdown. The guy had an amazing game yesterday, it was just straight domination. I mean, the Lions had no shot at all. I mean, it was 28-0 at halftime, and you could just tell that the Ravens pretty much just took the life out of the Lions. Now, that doesn't mean I think the Lions are gonna like suddenly go on some major losing streak. I still think they're a really good team, but I just think it was more of a comeback down to earth. They're playing a really, really good team in the Ravens. I think a lot of people are actually sleeping on the Ravens this season just because they're not really winning in big ways. They're winning, but not really flashy ways. And in my opinion, Lamar Jackson's actually having a better season than he did in his MVP season a few seasons ago. So I just think the Ravens are a team you don't really want to see. Defensively, they're taking care of business. Lamar's having a very, very efficient year, which is what you really want to see. I mean, he's making the right moves when running, but he's also just making the most precise passes this year. And you really want to watch out for the Ravens because they are looking really, really solid. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. That went as expected. Seattle got the win 20-10. Geno Smith had a solid day, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Kenny Walker III just continues his domination on the ground with 105 yards. And their rookie receiver, Smith Jigba, he had 63 yards and a touchdown. So just a really, really solid day from the Seahawks and a really terrible day from the Cardinals. Then we had another, it was a close game, but I guess kind of what you expect really from these two teams at this point in time. The Green Bay Packers at the Denver Broncos, it was pretty much a field goal fest for the most part. The Broncos did get the win 19-17. It actually looked like they were going to do what they've done all season. You know, they had a really good lead all the way through the third quarter, and then they started to fall apart. And the Packers actually started to make a little bit of a run there. But the Broncos did actually have had a nice game-winning drive. Were able to get the field goal. Were able to hold on defensively and get the win. And Jordan Love, he is just not looking good at all this season. So if the Packers have a terrible year, I guess the good thing for them is there's a lot of good quarterbacks available to draft. If they want to go that route, because you could just tell by the way they're calling plays that they don't really trust Jordan Love in the big situations. And I mean, it shows. He threw a game sealing interception to end the game yesterday. So that's just kind of how it went. And then turning to the Broncos side of the ball, Russell Wilson had a solid day, 194 yards and a touchdown. Williams on the ground had 82 yards, and then Sutton through the air had 76 yards and a touchdown. So the Broncos were finally able to hold on to the win and get the win. And the Packers, only 2 wins on the season. Actually, both teams, only 2 wins on the season. So not looking too good for either team, but the Broncos finally were able to get that, hold on to it in the fourth quarter. Then we had the Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs just stomped the Chargers 31-17. It looked like it was going to be an insane touchdown fest from Patrick Mahomes. In the first half, he had three touchdowns in the first half, and then he ended up getting another one in the second half. But the Chargers finally played some defense in the second half, but it was too little, too late for the Chargers, especially because offensively they just fell asleep. I don't know what the hell is going on with this team, but they are just terrible. But speaking of Mahomes, he had a fantastic day, 424 yards, 4 touchdowns and an interception. And then Travis Kelce also had a phenomenal day, 179 yards and a touchdown. So just straight up Chiefs domination, and the Chargers looked pretty awful. Then another weird ass game, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Los Angeles Rams. The Steelers actually had offense yesterday. A pretty good amount of offense yesterday. They got the win, 24-17. I mean, they had great defense. TJ Watt, interception. I mean, the guy is just, it feels like every single game he's in on every single play. Him, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons. There's so many defenders this year who are just getting in on every play and just being that dude. It's just crazy, but TJ Watt, once again, it feels like we're just talking about him every single game that he's in on, and he had the big game. Now, there were a couple of controversial calls from the refs, most notably on I believe it was a 4th-and-1, where Kenny Pickett, it was a QB sneak, and he was obviously down by about a yard. He did not make it. But unfortunately for the Rams, they did not have any timeouts or challenges at the time, so they couldn't challenge the play, and it wasn't within the time frame where it's below 2 minutes, so they just automatically review it. So the Steelers ended up getting the win, 24-17, but it was a controversial call. But whatever, I mean, the Rams had their chances and they just kept blowing it. Stafford had a pretty good day, 231 yards and a touchdown and an interception. And then Puka Nacua had 154 yards as well through the air. So not a terrible day, but I mean, the Steelers, it was very shocking. As I've continued to say about them, they have the worst offense in the league, but they actually showed some life yesterday in the game against the Rams. So I don't know what that says about them or what that says about the Rams, but hey, Steelers got the win. Now moving on to tonight's game, it is the San Francisco 49ers at the Minnesota Vikings. Right now the Niners are a 7.5-point favorite. The Niners will be without Deebo Samuel. He's going to be missing a couple of games due to a shoulder injury. And then they're going to be without their big offensive lineman, Trent Williams. He is out as well, but Christian McCaffrey is expected to play, so they will have him. But I mean, even without Samuel, Brandon Ayuk has pretty much been their number one wide receiver. So I don't think that's going to be a big deal. Also, George Kittle's still out there. So I just kind of feel like the Niners are going to come out, have a big game. You know, they're coming off of a loss. Plus, Minnesota, this is a primetime game. And we all know how Kirk Cousins plays in primetime games. He almost always loses and has terrible games. So I'm expecting a complete ass whooping from the 49ers tonight, 31-20. Moving on to playoff baseball, y'all. Man, let me tell you, Friday night was probably two of the best championship games you're ever going to see. I don't want to say the two greatest games in the history of baseball because that's an exaggeration. And plus, you know, that's just living in the moment. But man, Friday night, whew. These championship games have been excellent, but Friday night, it was nuts. You thought one team was going to win, and it was like, no, we're coming back, bitch. And it was just, oh, it was just beautiful. So let's get started with the ALCS, and let's talk about what's going on in this excellent series. Game 5 on Friday night, it was just so crazy, because it looked like the Rangers were going to win. And or at first it looked like, you know, Houston's scoring some runs. They got this going, and then Texas gets going, and then all of a sudden, Jose Altuve comes up to bat and hits a 9th-inning game-winning home run to send the Astros off with the win, 5-4. The way I see it is, I get it. If you want to hate on the Astros and Altuve because of all the cheating shit, that's totally fine. But at the end of the day, they've been here so many times, and that was one season, okay? I kind of feel like you need to get over it at this point, especially with Altuve. The numbers fucking prove it. The dude is money, especially when it comes to the postseason. He's one of the few who has multiple ninth inning game-winning home runs. I mean, when he comes up to bat, it's just like, what's he going to do? And he did it. He had another game winner in game five. There was also just some craziness as well. I was laughing my ass off. So, Adolis Garcia, he ends up hitting a home run, and he showboats like a motherfucker in this home run that he hit. He kind of does the walk, the slow walk, and then he takes his bat and just smashes it to the ground, just spikes it like, yeah, motherfucker. So then the next time he comes up to bat, pitcher, he gets hit by a pitch. Now, I don't think it was on purpose. In this case, there's lots of times where it looks like it's on purpose. In this case, I don't, because the Astros were down at this point in time, and they could not afford, this is the playoffs too, y'all. They cannot afford to put dudes on base for free. So I don't think it was on purpose, but I see why Adolis was pissed off. And immediately as he's hit, bench is clear, he's getting pissed off, everybody's yelling at each other. And so the pitcher gets ejected, and Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, goes nuts. And I am laughing my ass off because Dusty Baker is like old as fuck, y'all. I think, if I remember correctly, this is just off the top of my head, he's like 83, 84. I know he's like he's old. He's old as fuck throwing this tantrum. And I am laughing my ass off. He's yelling at this, at the umpire, and the umpire kicks him out. Okay. Dusty goes to the bench and sits down with his arms crossed, and he ain't leaving. And the ump just realizes, they're getting ready to go back to play, and he realizes, wait a second, is Dusty still in there? And the ump walks up to Dusty and is like, yo, I threw you out. Get out of here. And Dusty just, he's like sitting there with his arms crossed, and you don't know what he's saying to him, but he's basically saying to him, bitch, I ain't going nowhere. And he keeps throwing more and more tantrum, and he's yelling at him, and then finally Dusty leaves. But it was just funny to see this grown-ass 80-year-old man getting pissed the fuck off and like, no, bitch, I ain't leaving. No, bitch, I ain't leaving. I'm Dusty motherfucking Baker, and I was laughing so hard. But then at this point, you know, Houston's down. But then Altuve came up, hit the game winner, boom. And Houston sweeps them in Dallas. Game six, yesterday, Texas went on a murder fest with the home runs. Garver had a home run, Heim had a home run, and that dude, Adolis Garcia, not only did he have a home run, he had a grand slam in which the Rangers would go on to win 9-2. Push us to a game seven. Notice no home team has won this one. So game seven is tonight. Does that mean the Texas Rangers are going to move on? Because, you know, like I just said, ain't no home team winning so far in this ALCS. But this is the Houston Astros. They've been here before. They know how to win. So are they going to step it up? Now we've got Max Scherzer starting pitching for the Rangers tonight. And we've got Christian Javier pitching for the Astros tonight. Now, Javier is money since last year in the postseason. Scherzer, not so much. He's been getting blown up his last couple of playoff games, including when he played for the Dodgers last year. So, I think the Astros are going to sneak this Game 7 out. But I will not be shocked if the Rangers win it. But hey, ain't nothing better than Game 7. And I'm expecting some fireworks tonight in Houston. But I do have Houston winning this one tonight and moving on to the World Series. Now let's move on to the NLCS. So game four was on Friday night in Arizona. And it looked like Philly was just going to run away with this game. It's the eighth inning. Arizona's down 5-3. And all of a sudden, their young cat, Alec Thomas, who just got called up from the minor leagues earlier this season. He's been in and out of the lineup. He's not really a go-to guy, but he made his mark on Friday night. He hit a three-run home run to give the Arizona Diamondbacks a win 6-5. But unfortunately for them, They would lose game five in ass-kicking fashion. The Phillies just murdered them 6-1. Wheeler pitched an amazing game, 7 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts. Harper had a home run. Schwarber had a home run. As a matter of fact, Schwarber now is the record holder for the most home runs by a left-handed hitter in the postseason. How crazy is that? Who would have thought Kyle Schwarber would own that record? But he do. And so right now, the Phillies are up 3-2. Game 6 is actually currently going on right now. It literally, first pitch just was thrown as I hit the record button, basically. So we'll see if the Phillies end up moving on tonight. I kind of feel like they're going to. It's just the Phillies just look like on a whole other level than the Diamondbacks. I feel like the Diamondbacks were really just lucky to get the 2 wins that they got. I know they don't feel that way, but just kind of the way each and every game is gone, they really haven't dominated like you would hope a playoff team would. So I just kind of feel like the Phillies are going to move on tonight, and so I feel like both series will end tonight, and we will be talking World Series probably on Wednesday's show, but we'll see how it goes. But yeah, what a crazy weekend of sports and baseball. But Friday night was just absolute amazingness if you are a baseball fan. All right, so as I've been doing the last couple of episodes, my NBA season predictions, let's go ahead and break down how I feel like the playoffs are going to roll out. I'm not going to do the entire playoffs. I'm only just going to do the top 6 seeds, even though 10 total seeds make it. But the play-in is just so meh, whatever to me, even though, yes, the Lakers were in the play-in last year and they went to the Western Conference Finals. The Heat were in the play-in in the Eastern Conference and they made it all the way to the NBA Finals. So I'm not saying the play-in doesn't matter, because obviously it can matter. But, you know, it's too many teams. It gets too convoluted. So I really just wanted to name off the top 6 teams. Then I'm going to do the conference finals and the finals, and ultimately who I believe is going to be the NBA champion when it's all said and done. So let's get started in the Western Conference. I think the Denver Nuggets are going to be the number 1 seed. I don't see why they would fall off. Jokic is playing at the highest level of his career. I don't see why he would fall off. They have the same basic core that they did last year, same coach, same everything. So why the fuck would they fall off? I don't have the Denver Nuggets falling off. I think they're going to be right up there at the top. But then at the number 2 seed, I've got my Los Angeles Lakers. I think they're going to have a good season. Of course, like I said when I was breaking it down, it obviously depends on Anthony Davis's health and LeBron James's health. But I'm just banking on they're going to be the second half team that they were. They have Austin Reeves back. They have Rui Hachimura back. They've got D'Angelo Russell back. So I feel like they've got this core 5 that they rolled with through the whole second half, all the way to the Western Conference Finals. They should be a good, solid team this year. And so, yes, I have the Los Angeles Lakers having a good year and getting that number 2 seed. Then the number 3 seed in the Western Conference, I have the Memphis Grizzlies. Yes, they're going to be without Ja Morant for, the first month or two of the season. But that's not as important as the end of the season. And I just kind of feel like they did get some bad news, though, with Steven Adams is going to be out for the entire season. So that could change the way they look. But they did gain Marcus Smart in the offseason, and I think that's a huge, huge deal, because he's going to be bringing a whole nice veteran presence in there, along with some playoff experience and some defense as well. So I think the Grizzlies are going to weather the storm without Ja Morant. And, you know, Steven Adams, luckily, his injury was at the beginning of the season and not like midway, so they already know kind of what to expect without him. Then I have at the number 4 seed, the Sacramento Kings. I think they're going to kind of fall back a little bit from what they were last year, but still be a good team. I don't think they're going to, you know, last year they dominated all season long. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I still expect them to be a good team. Like I said, I got them at the four seed, so that's not bad at all. I just don't think they're going to knock everybody out like they did last year. Then at the number 5 seed, I have the Dallas Mavericks. That's very hesitant just because I don't believe in them as long as Kyrie Irving is on the team. The dude is just a cancer. He ruins every fucking team he's with, so I can't see them as a championship contender. But I do see them as a playoff contender, and they should be a pretty solid team as long as he doesn't get his panties in a wad at some point. But, you know, he always does, so we'll see when that is. And then rounding out the 6th seed I have in the Western Conference, the Phoenix Suns. To me, They have a lot of solid players in Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. These are all high-scoring guys who are going to be really, really difficult to guard, but they also get injured a lot, especially Beal and Durant over the years. So that could end up being a problem for them, as well as defense. They don't have anything going on defensively, at least from what we could tell right now. So we'll see what happens with the Suns. I expect them to be a playoff contender. You know, you've got all those high scorers on there, so I really expect them to be blowing a lot of people out at some point. It's just going to be, are the injuries going to become a factor at some point? And like I said, defense, I don't see a lot of that coming from them. Moving over to the Eastern Conference, the number one seed, I have the Milwaukee Bucks. I think this Damian Lillard move is a huge move. It puts them head and shoulders above the rest because they've got Giannis, they've got him, and they've got Middleton as well. So they've got a nice solid core right there who could score a bunch of points. And if you're guarding Giannis, that means you're leaving Lillard open and vice versa. So good luck to you on guarding the Bucks. And I just think this is a great move for them, and I feel like they're going to be one of the best teams in the league. Then at the number two seed, I have the Boston Celtics. I mean, they've improved, in my opinion, by adding Drew Holiday. At first, I was hesitant just because they got rid of Marcus Smart, who I feel like has been a huge defensive force for them, as well as the heart and soul of their team for a few seasons. But they moved on from him, but Drew Holiday is excellent as well. He was a big part of why the Bucks won a championship a couple of years ago, and so I think he's just going to bring a nice, solid presence, scoring presence that the Celtics need. So I don't think the Celtics are really going to have a problem this year. It's really just once they hit the postseason, they seem to fall off. So are they going to be able to get over that this year and finally win a championship, or are they just going to fall short like they have the last couple of seasons? Then at the number three seed, I have the Miami Heat. You know, they've been around ever since Jimmy Butler was traded to this team. He's made them a legitimate contender every single year. Even when it looks like they're out of it, boom, they're the Heat in the NBA Finals. So I just think they're a really good team, and I don't see them falling off at all. And they're in a pretty terrible division as well. Then at number four, I have the New York Knicks. I just see them getting better this year. Jalen Brunson, he had an amazing year last year. I just only see him getting better this year. They're a really good defensive team. It's just we don't know what we're going to get from the Knicks. And so I don't believe in them as a championship contender just yet. I think they've got a nice solid core. They might have to make a trade at some point in the season. Who knows what they're going to do. But I do think they're going to be a solid team, especially on the defensive side of things. Then at number five in the Eastern Conference, I have the Cleveland Cavaliers. They just look really good. They've got a nice young core, and then you've got Donovan Mitchell, who had an amazing year with them last year, and I just really only expect them to get better going into this season. I just don't know if they're ready to take that next step or not. And also on the defensive side of things, there's a lot of question marks, so I don't have them up in the upper echelon just yet, but I think they're definitely going to have a really solid year. And then rounding out the Eastern Conference, it was a really difficult pick for me, and I'm just really only going with this team if they're able to, I guess, play to their potential, and that's the Atlanta Hawks, because the real question mark is Trae Young. He, all last year, had a problem with the coaches. They end up firing the coach, hiring a coach, and he just is having a, he didn't want to be a Hawk, obviously, all year. And then all offseason, there were just rumors where he was going to go somewhere. He was going to get traded. What are they going to do with him? Well, they don't end up not doing anything with him, and here he still is in Atlanta Hawk. So are we going to have all that drama throughout the season? Is he going to get traded at the trade deadline? So we don't know what we're going to get with the Atlanta Hawks, but I'm just going off of what I see with their roster, and that's what I got. And they are a talented team. It's just they've never been able to put together this talent. So, talent-wise, I like them. But there's a lot of question marks. But, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of question marks with a lot of the bottom teams. Really, once you get past the Cavaliers, there's a lot of question marks with a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, which is why I just put the Hawks there. Just because, roster-wise, they're better than the rest. So I've got the Hawks rounding out the Eastern Conference at the sixth seed. So who do I think is going to ultimately go to the Western Conference Finals? I have a repeat of last year. Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. But I just, for some reason, feel like the Nuggets, are just going to repeat what they did this year. I don't see, like I said, I don't see them falling off. Why would they fall off? Unless they have some stupid injury. But I mean, that's really honestly the case with each and every one of these teams every single year. So we're just going to not even worry about that. I just look at the roster. I look at what's presented to me. And what's presented to me is the Denver Nuggets are the defending champs. They've been one of the best teams in the league the last couple of seasons. They just really put it together this year. They dominated all last year. I don't see why they won it this year. So I do have them defeating my Los Angeles Lakers again in the Western Conference Finals. And then in the Eastern Conference Finals, I have it the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. I just think the Milwaukee Bucks, like I said, I feel like are the best team in the league. So I don't see why they would not get past the Celtics. I think defensively they're better. In the paint, they're better. Giannis is a much bigger superstar than anything that the Celtics have right now. And Damian Lillard, like I said, puts them in that next level, and it's going to be difficult to guard both of them. So I have the Milwaukee Bucks moving on to the finals. So my NBA Finals matchup is going to be the Denver Nuggets versus the Milwaukee Bucks, and I have the Milwaukee Bucks winning it all. I think it would probably go seven if we're looking at the roster breakdown. But I think it would be a very interesting matchup, but I just kind of feel like the Bucks have a tiny bit more talent than the Nuggets. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, that's what I got. NBA Finals, Denver Nuggets versus Milwaukee Bucks, with the Bucks ultimately as the champions yet again. So the NBA kicks off tomorrow night, y'all. Basketball is in full force, and we've got college basketball right around the corner. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.